Good morning, everyone. So we're going to get started, and I want to invite Hemant and David Strievel to just come up and join us. So we were down from the fabulous five to the mostly awesome four. A little under the weather. Robbie is, he called this morning, and we couldn't hardly speak for all the coughing going on, so he's home sick as a dog. So a lot of us are getting something, so he sends his apologies, and I'm going to give his talk first. It's very brief. He wants me to, from the bottom of his heart, he wants me to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's Robbie's speech today. So a man of many words. Oh, are we doing that too? Okay. And then is Christy in the room?
I'm ready.
Okay. Go ahead and sit up here. Okay, so let's. So today, this basically is, we do this every year. Once a year, it's the 2017 version. And we're just going to tell you what we've been up to and what's going on and give a report. So that's all there is. We're going to start with Donna because the spiritual program, nobody knew their order, so I'm just making it up. The spiritual program is really the vitality, the whole essence of why we're here. So let's start with that report first.
From my blingy reading classes. Okay. Well, welcome. I think I'm going to start with the little things and end with the big things. Oh, I can't do this because I put my head up and I can't see you at all. Mm-hmm. So we have a regular program of classes and pujas that we offer all the time. Oh, there, that's better. You're all aware because you're here that we have Sunday morning Dharma with Geshe Gelager, Geshe Sangpo every Sunday. We also have a whole array of classes that reach people at different levels. On Monday nights is Discovering Buddhism, which is a wonderful two-year curriculum that gives you a great great look at the whole range of important Buddhist topics, and it gets below the surface. On Tuesday nights, we have our introductory classes, which are Meditation 101 and Buddhism in a Nutshell. And Buddhism in a Nutshell covers the whole range of Buddhism kind of on the surface. It's just a really quick introduction to the ideas. Wednesday nights, Geshe-la teaches us on topics in the Lam Rim. Right now, we're still working our way through the wonderful teachings that are incorporated into the Guru Puja. And Wednesday night is a really good class to come to if you're taking DB or if you've finished Discovering Buddhism. It gets us a little bit deeper, and we take our time and really explore things deeply. And then on Friday nights is a course called the Basic Program, which gets even deeper. And that's a course that it's a little bit restricted, that if you need to register at the beginning of each module. So we're in the middle of one now, and when that one's done, we'll be ready to open up for other modules. And we also do pujas, and that's a word that was really kind of scary, like, what the heck is a puja? And I remember the first time I went to one, I was sort of tiptoeing in and wondering what it was all about. But it's just a prayer service, and they focus on either the qualities of the guru or the qualities of a deity such as Medicine Buddha. Medicine Buddha puja is probably our most popular puja here because it is all about healing, and then we have Tara practice, which we did last night, and this wonderful altar here is our Tara altar. Tara is a female embodiment of the Buddha, and she represents enlightened activities. Okay, so that's our general ongoing program. We also have some interesting things coming up this year. I just got word this morning that we invited someone to come and offer a Nungne purification practice, and that is likely to happen at the end of April. We're still working on it, but looks like we're going to have a positive response on that. Nungne is very intensive, another one of those things that sounds really scary before you do it, and then it's really actually wonderful to do. We also have coming in June, we'll have a visiting teacher from Don Handrick, who is an FPMT teacher. He's the resident teacher at the Tubten Norbu Ling Center in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Don is very, he's Western, he's very approachable. I first met Don at a Light of the Path retreat where he was leading some of the discussion groups, and I'm very excited that we're going to have him here because he's one of those teachers who makes all of it really make sense to us in our daily lives. So he's going to be here in June. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Tibetan New Year, Losar, right here, and that's going to be quite a fun celebration, and we'll have music and dance, and we'll make offerings to His Holiness, and it's just always a really wonderful, warm cultural celebration. Then another exciting thing happening should come later this year, at the request of Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who is up here on our right to the right side of His Holiness. He is the spiritual director of our mother organization, the FPMT. He requested of us some years ago that we acquire a Lama Atisha statue. Lama Atisha wrote The Lamp on the Path for Enlightenment. He brought Buddhism to Tibet. He's really quite an amazing teacher and enlightened being in Buddhist and Tibetan Buddhist history. So we're really very thrilled that that statue is going to be coming here. And Geshe-la commissioned that when he was in Nepal this past fall. So we'll have a real big celebration when that happens. And then saving one of the biggest things for almost last. Well, actually, I'll do it May. We have also invited Khyentse Rinpoche, the teacher of Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsongpo, to come and visit Kadampa Center, and he accepted our invitation, and he will be coming either very late this year or sometime next year. And he has been here twice before, so many of us have a connection to him, and he is, if you were here when we all cracked him up and he and Geshe laughed for 5 minutes, you'll remember that very well, because we all made a mistake, and it was really quite funny. we're really looking forward to having him here again, and we'll have more details when we know more. And then, of course, the big thing that's happening in the late summer and early fall is the next Light of the Path retreat. This is a retreat that, again, we have hosted. This will be our fifth time hosting it, and this was, again, at the request of Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And he's teaching on this text, The Lamp on the Path to Enlightenment, Lama Atisha's text. And the Light of the Path retreat this year will be 4 weeks long. We've done 4 2-week retreats, so it's quite a challenge. We are going to also work to usually in past retreats the center has been very quiet when we're away, and we're going to work to have it still open on with teachers on Sundays this time, because the retreat itself takes place a 4-hour drive west of here up near Asheville. So we're going to need lots of volunteers. We're going to be doing a little bit more later this spring about, if you haven't been and you're interested in coming, then you can learn a little bit about what to expect when you go to the retreat. And we'll announce that when we've got that ready. Last year, we had almost 60 people from Kadampa Center attend the retreat for a weekend or a week or for the full time. And that was really exciting to have so many people go and really have the chance to get some teachings from an amazing teacher like Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And we have also invited Rinpoche to do as he has done at each previous retreat and teach here on the day right before the retreat begins. So be looking for all of that to come. Are there any questions about the spiritual program before I turn the mic over? All right. Thank you.
Okay. Next, let's have Hemant Pandya talk to us, the president of the board of directors. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Jill. I don't have anything in writing, but I'd like to first start by thanking the teachers, Shakyamuni Buddha, and all the way down to our precious teacher here, Geshe-la. We have Geshe Tsongpo. We have beautiful and very precious nuns that are here. And then I can go on in slew of thanking all the board members, the management team. I call them the gasoline of the car is our center manager. We have spiritual coordinators, children's program. And I also would like to specifically thank the teachers that teach Discovering Buddhism. We have Shankha Mitra here. I don't see anybody else. Maybe I'm missing somebody who's been a board member, part of the management, is a teacher. We are just so lucky to have a center like this. I, through my journey, have found this to be like my refuge. So not only the teachings, but a center like this in North Carolina, in Raleigh. And I'm very humbled by the fact that such a beautiful place with such clean teachings. And you got a nugget today about how to manage anger, how to find happiness. And I truly believe that in scheme of all of these things that go on in the world, that is like the real diamond that we all are seeking for happiness. And so to me, all my board members, we are all servants of this Dharma, and that we are just helping Kadampa Center to be successful. And I want to thank you all, each and every one of you, for being here today, making a joyful effort to be here today, because in the end, you could have been outside, but you decided to come here. So thank you.
Thank you, Hemant. And now let's hear from Christy Batts, our family program coordinator, the very brave, brave soul we have here.
Okay, so this is my first time doing this. I succeeded Erin Sloan last year about March 1st, and Erin graciously allowed the transition period to go on for a very long time. She gave me just a piece at a time, and it really allowed me to become familiar with this position and this huge program that we have. She's practiced generosity by giving of herself and materials and time and energy. She's endured patience with all the volunteers, including me and the kids. She just shows like vigorous energy and mindful concentration in all efforts of this program. So I just want everyone to kind of rejoice in Erin. She's at the end right there. She served in this position for 5 years before me, and now that I've been in the position, I just think that we're so lucky to have like our karma has been able to put us in a path where we're even in the same room with her. So I think that's really wonderful. So she stayed on this year as curriculum developer, and she's helped shape our curriculum for the children. And she's done it in such a way that it's been able to be shared with several other centers, including one recently in Canada this year. So we have this really huge database of lesson plans that are all digital. And she can just send out this email, and now I can send out this email with people who are interested. And I even have, just recently last week, a Tibetan Buddhist community in Charlottesville, Virginia, contacted me and asked, how do you do what you do? Because we are the largest children's program in the Foundation for Preservation of Mahayana Tradition. And in a lot of the Buddhist community before I found FPMT, there I could not find a community like this, much less one that I could take my children to. And so I really feel like it's something that you guys can all pat your back and say that you're a part of that. Some of the let me talk about some of the other people that have helped. Nicole Mayo, I don't see her today, but she's serving as head teen facilitator this year, and she has consistently done this for a long time. And now we have like four facilitators that help her coordinate like a very clear vision and a very realistic vision of like what the parents want, what the teens want, and provide something for the teen program because teens are hard. So I really appreciate her. And some other people, I don't really see a lot of them, but I like mentioning their names, Virginia Meyer, Dorothy Robeson, Colleen Mitchell, Venerable Condola. All of them have helped me since March, really forthcoming with their help and their support. And I see a lot of people in this room who have volunteered with the children's program, and that just makes me so thoughtful of how it's a community effort. We trained over 40 individuals in this center to work with the children, anywhere from age 1 to 17 in this August. So at least 10 of them are with the children every week. And we have Weekly classes with an average of about 35 children every week in this facility. So our program is based on a curriculum developed by Denise Flora. If you're here, stand up. I don't see her. She developed this program a very long time ago, and from that, it's developed into like this Foundation for Compassion and Wisdom, which is a huge universal education organization that Lama Yeshe started a long time ago. So it's touched a lot of people. It's a secular curriculum that she's developed, and it's been sent out to schools and all sorts of organizations, and we're lucky enough to have it kind of developed in-house by our own Denise Flora. And she wrote this kind of a handbook called Ready, Set, Happy that we use, and then through Aaron Sloan and some other volunteers, they've developed like storybooks and lesson plans to go with that. So we have a huge like physical children's library in the education building across the way. And with all these lesson plans, it makes volunteering with the children's program very easy because it's all written out for you. And then you come with your own perspectives and your own experience through your Buddhist practice to add to that. So, like, for example, this year, since September, we've studied kindness and generosity, thoughtful speech and respect, and then we intersperse celebrating and explaining some of the Buddhist holidays and special days. So today, the children, all of them are learning about Losar, since we'll all be together in this room next week celebrating Losar. So sometimes kids just get thrown in the mix, and they don't know why they're doing it, and this explains to them why and how you're going to be experiencing the celebration next week. So it gives a lot of context to their experience here. So in other news in the children's program, this year we were able to provide childcare twice in the past year. One when Rinpoche came in August. Over 20 children attended two sessions for a full day of teaching, and this enabled several practitioners to be fully engaged in his teachings, knowing that their children were happy and cared for and safe, and whether they could afford childcare at home or here, like they were able to have free childcare when they came here. And this also happened when Karuna Caton came in October. He is a guest speaker, and so over a dozen children came that night, and they were cared for, and parents didn't have to worry or take their mind outside of the teachings while they were able to enjoy that. And I really look forward to doing more of that in 2017. So also, something that's going to change in 2017, approved by the management board, is that the children's program will take a break in the summertime from July 4th to Labor Day. This break is to give all of our volunteers just a time when their schedules are already kind of hectic because of a lot of them do have children and a lot of them don't have school in the summer, so that's when they take off to do different things. And so it will kind of ease the draw on the volunteers that don't like to vacation and like to stay here all summer. And it also gives us time to start planning for the next go-round when we start our classes again in September. So we will have other things to engage with at the center here with your children over the summer, and you're always welcome to bring them into the Gompa with you, or the preschool room has a video. Chris has set up this TV and sound system in the preschool room, so even if there isn't a children's program, don't let that deter you from coming in the summertime. But there's at least one way that I know a lot of you have heard already is about Family Dharma Camp that happened last spring in May. We had 88 people attend full-time and 102 people at the very height of all the visitors and guest teachers. So they experienced Dharma together. The parents and the children talked about how to incorporate practice into their family life. They experienced Tibetan rituals and took teachings from the Buddha. It was a really great, energizing weekend for our community. The theme was Vajrasattva, transforming difficulties into learning and growth. And we explored how to work with our negative emotions and past harmful actions in a positive way. And this part comes from the secular program. Remember, regret, remedy, resolution, and rejoice. We applied the five R's. And we learned how to move beyond our self-blame and face difficulties with courage and thoughtfulness and a caring attitude towards ourselves and others. So last year's camp happened at a camp in Agape in Fukuoka Arena, and we had done it the previous year at the same facility. We had a 24% increase in total attendees over 2015. We had a 100% increase in lay teachers coming. We focused on that. We wanted a lot of people to come and teach. We decided to offer scholarships, so we had a 165% increase in scholarships distributed to folks who couldn't afford to come at the price that it was advertised, and 275% increase in people attending on the scholarship. We had a 27% increase in designated donations and total funds raised to turnover. I didn't write this. We were less in the green than we were before, but we were in the green at the end. So that was really wonderful too. Here's a quick write-up that I sent to the management team right after that camp. I said, only one big rain downpour and one kid fell in the pond. Agape graciously offered their extra bunkhouse free of cost to the campers whose equipment didn't stand up to the rain, because we had some people camping in actual tents and we had some people in like apartment style housing. So two families took up that free offer. Feedback indicated that time with Sangha was invaluable, especially one-on-one sessions with Tender-in-law and Kundala. Visiting teachers Michael and Lisa Flaherty, I saw Michael skip out before Suzanne Weigland and Denise Flora, were so very much appreciated, and feedback indicated their presence made the larger Kadampa community feel much more connected to the children's program. So, with this intention to honor the feedback of previous attendees of the camp and to spend time around Sangha and more fully integrate and interconnect our own Kadampa community, I'm going to announce Family Camp 2017. So Family Camp 2017 is going to be Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 4th. And you guys just heard Donna talk about Light of the Path. Family Dharma Camp is going to coincide with Light of the Path on the same facility as Light of the Path. So things that adults are going to be able to take part in is some of the teachings or all of the teachings that they can through Light of the Path and take teachings from Lama Zopa Rinpoche. They're going to be able to have family time still with their children during meals and evenings. And while they're taking teachings, their children will be taking teachings as well. They're going to be learning mantras and prayers and practicing bodhicitta and receiving teachings based on Shantidevas, which we hear so much about. Last year we did an animal liberation ceremony. The kids loved it, and it was very successful. Geshe Songpo did a wonderful job setting up an altar and making it very accessible. So we look forward to doing things like that. And there's going to be a lot of Sangha around. So anytime you're going to, you know, be walking from one place to another, you're going to be around Sangha. So, you know, the advice and encouragement is there for the picking. So with advice from Geshe Gelug this year, Family Dharma Camp 2017 will be the first in a 4-year series. We've titled it Practicing the Six Perfections with a Bodhicitta Attitude. So this year, children will develop loving kindness and compassion through the perfection of generosity and ethical discipline. So together, we're going to learn how to create a pure motivation and give each other, and give others teachings, love, protection, objects, as well as explore how and what it is to protect our own body, speech, and mind so that we can benefit others. So if you want more information, I'm going to put up this type of save the date all over the center and send it out in all our communications, and soon registration will open. Any questions? I see John asking.
The family camp is going to be in Asheville?
Yes, the family camp will be at this Black Mountain Retreat, which is just east of Asheville, for the Labor Day weekend. So it's a good time to schedule a vacation. Anybody else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Yay.
A daunting task. Okay, David Strievel now will have our financial report. Do we have to dim the lights for that?
Yeah, I think we'll probably have to.
Could the person in the back hit the lights?
Oh, here's I think this is working okay here. I'm David Strievel. I'm the treasurer of Kadapa Center. I'm on the board of directors, where I have been for many years, and I've been the treasurer the last couple of years. So this is the one time of year where we're going to spend a few minutes and review our financial situation so that everyone is informed. And we do have some information about this on our website, too. I'll tell you where. So we're just starting off here with a photo of probably our teaching highlight of the last year here, Lama Zopa here in our center. And now we're going to get on to, here's today's subjects. I'm going to talk about our organizational form and then our financial results for this last year, 2016, our budget for next year, and then the status of the annual appeal that just finished. As soon as I can move to the next slide here. The Kadapa Center is organized as most churches are organized. We are a Carolina nonprofit corporation, and we have a board of directors, that means. And several of the directors are here today, myself, Donna Cease, Royden, and Steve Hale, and Hamet, our president, so that's five of us. There's actually a total of nine people on the board of directors, and there's Becca Zuvich back in the back. There's six out of nine here today. And, of course, Robbie Watkins, our center director, is also on the board. As I mentioned here in the third point, led by Robbie Watkins, center director, and Hamet is president, I'm the treasurer, Sandy Carlson's the secretary. So every year, the board has the responsibility of creating a budget, managing our finances, controlling hiring and so on, and overall doing our plans. And then Jill Marie, our center manager, tries to carry out the plans by working here every day. And we do have a management team of volunteers, too. There's about 12 people on that. And Jill's going to talk about that. So let's move right into the review of our 2016 income. And I've got this organized here in big categories. The annual appeal is our biggest fundraising concept of the year. And you know that because we just went through it and you're asked to make monthly donations and one-time donations. And for 2016, that brought in $163,000. Or 46% of all of our income came to us that way. The next big item listed up there near the top is Light of the Path Retreat, and that has grown to be a very big deal. It requires immense volunteer effort and immense expense, too. $110,000 in income came to us this year from that. That was 31% of our income. And then our bookstore has become a big deal, financially speaking, here at the center. We sell goods here and books. And then at retreat time, folks put in a lot of work to box up or put in tubs or somehow carry to the Blue Ridge Assembly Retreat Center everything from the bookstore. So then for 2 weeks, the bookstore operates up there. And so they sell many things there. They brought in $25,000 in income up there and $19,000 here in Raleigh. And then the next category down, General Donna, that means just money put into the boxes out there with no particular designation. That was about 5% of our income. And there were then the spiritual program Raleigh, donations connected with visiting teachers and pujas and classes, brought in $12,000, and the children's program had to collect about $9,500 in fees to pay for the children's camp. And that was our whole income, which is $358,000 for last year. So where did the money all go? Here's the slide for that. First of all, personnel. We hire Geshe Gelick and Geshe Sangpo. And we hired Jill Marie full-time as manager and Amanda Henry part-time to do bookkeeping and other office work. So They're not terribly highly paid. All four of them put together with all their benefits and everything came to $121,000, 38% of our budget. We spent about 23% on the Light of the Path retreat. Administration here, including paying bank fees, accounting and supplies, paying our internet bill and so on, came to $35,000. We spent about $25,000 on utilities and insurance and maintenance. We spent $24,000 to buy the things we sold at the bookstore. And committees, including the children's program and the prison project, had about 5% of our annual expenses. We paid about $15,000 off our mortgage for mortgage principal. That was 5% of our money. And the expense of bringing visiting teachers here was about 4% for a total of $322,000. So here's a summary. Right here at Raleigh, this is not usual, but last year we did have a shortage of donations in relation to expenses here in town. And the deficit here in Raleigh was $11,000. However, the Light of the Path retreat, we had a surplus of $47,000. So the net result of the whole thing was $35,000 surplus. And actually, our budget is intended to break even every year, so having $35,000 extra was great. And however, here at Raleigh, donations were less than expenses. We do need to think about that this year. And I certainly feel like, in a sense, we earned a nice surplus at the retreat because people put in literally thousands of hours of volunteer work to make it all happen. And we take a lot of risk, too. The expenses are very large for an organization our size. And, in fact, it's like the equivalent of 3 or 4 months of operation here just to make the retreat go. And it's all done on a donation basis in our usual way so that we don't know how much income we're going to get. And we just hope that it will all turn out well. And, in fact, this year it did. I'd like to mention one special thing about this year, and that is we have paid our mortgage down, so it's much smaller. We had accumulated some extra money in past years, and at our last annual meeting, this time last year, we owed First Citizens Bank $181,000 on our mortgage. And we've been paying it off, and we had 11 or 12 years to go. But last June, I renegotiated the mortgage, lowered the interest rate, and we took some accumulated funds we had from past surpluses, and we paid down the mortgage by $72,000. And then we received a $5,000 bequest from Richard Potter. We applied that to the mortgage at his request. And the result was we reduced our mortgage balance by $93,000 during this past year, and we owe now $88,000. And paying at our normal rate, that means in 4.5 years it will be paid off. And that's very nice. It means that then we can think about taking $22,000 a year we're paying and using it for something else. And there's a lot of penny pinching going on around here. And really, there's many ways we can think of that we can make the center nicer. I mean, just one simple example is if you look at all the assortment of chairs in here, and most churches, they sit on identical chairs, which they bought at retail prices. But we have never paid retail price for a chair. We have only bought chairs when they were super cheap somewhere or other, like the state surplus warehouse or something. And so there's things like that where that's one thing we might improve our facility. We probably need to be saving money eventually to remodel or upgrade or expand our building, things like that. So it's exciting that we may have our mortgage paid off and we can think more about that. So our current financial situation, Thanks to all your donations and much volunteer effort, we're in good shape. For most of this last year, we had $60,000 to $90,000 in our checking account. Now, for a family, that would be a lot, but our expenses are way higher. That amount would pay all our bills for about 3 months. And that's how much money we have on hand at the moment, in fact. And we have a very small investment account at Vanguard. We call it our long-term development fund, but with $3,000, we can't develop very much at the moment. But the concept is that eventually we will have more funds there and might use those funds, say, to remodel the building or something like that. We do use credit cards in our daily management. We have 6 or 7 credit cards outstanding, but we only use them just to make payments at merchants as a way of easing the paperwork, and then we pay them off in full every month. We don't use credit there. So the only loan that we owe any money on is our mortgage, where we owe $88,000 now. So that's our current situation. So then let's turn to the last part here, our this year's budget. And because the Light of the Path is being expanded to take a whole month, it's going to cost more this year. And so our budget calls for income of $397,000 and expenses of $394,000. And of that, $276,000 will be here in Raleigh. And the Light of the Path will probably cost $118,000, we think. So that means here in Raleigh we need $276,000 in donations in total. And that's way more than our annual pledge campaign, so we are expecting income from class donations, visiting teacher donations, General Donna, things like that. If you'd like to see the actual detailed budget, we do put it online. It will, within a couple of days, it'll be on the website. Last year's budget is out there. So look on kadampadeshcenter.org under the About Us tab and under the budget reports item. It's actually out there for last year. And our long-term financial plans, we're a nonprofit, so we just try to avoid annual deficits. We just try to bring in enough donations to pay the bills. And to do that, we have to be careful about spending money, and we have to use a lot of volunteer work as our organization gets bigger. We've now had our full-time center manager for a year and a half. I think everybody knows that's been working out very well, but it costs money to hire somebody full-time, and we have like about 1 1/3 employees at the moment on our office staff. So I think in the long run, we will probably need to hire more as we get a little bigger. And on our wish list, if we suddenly came into more money, would be to pay down or pay off our mortgage. The basic deal is we have to pay at a certain rate just to keep our contract going and pay $22,000 a year. If more money came in, we could pay that off faster. We would like to create an IRA retirement plan for our Geshe's and our office staff. There's actually an item in the budget for it. It's set at zero. Zero. That's because we don't think we have the money to do it. If we had more, we would. And then we would like to grow our long-term fund because we're sure that we'll have to remodel or enlarge or do something in the long run. So that's what's on our wish list. Now, the last topic here, results of the annual appeal. The goal was $150,000. We now have 100 monthly supporters, people that are paying in month by month all through the year. 19 new people this year, or 19 new families or individuals did that. And we've received $140,000 in monthly and one-time pledges. We still need $126,000 more to reach the income we need to pay off all of our expenses. And we do expect that as a few new members join, or maybe some members become aware of it, that there will be a few more supporters added throughout this year. So in conclusion then, all of our activity, keeping the center open and the lights on and everything, all depends on your generosity. And we have been lucky that now for quite a few years we've either been at break even or just a little bit better. So thank you, and keep up the good work through the rest of the year.
Thank you, David. And the last one, to a very scant crowd. Yes, oh, I'm sorry, questions, yeah.
Is there a need or an interest in supporting our nuns on that
list? Yes, I should mention that, supporting our nuns. Well, one aspect of it is that we don't have any of them on a salary, and we don't provide any benefits, or we have not in the past, so that our four nuns are volunteers. This year, we are, in fact, altering that. We have put two items in the budget for 2017, and one is enough money so that they could all go to the Light of the Path retreat and have their expenses paid. And that would cost about $5,000 or $6,000. And then the other item is $5,000 to be used for retreats or other things they identify as learning opportunities for themselves. And I believe a combination of our manager and Robbie, center director, will be working to identify what those are with them. And so we do have two items, which come to about $11,000 in the budget for this year for the first time. And if we had more money, we'd probably do more.
Shocking.
Any other questions?
No, I don't have a question.
It's just could you move the slide back to the budget, the 2016 expenses? I missed something.
Oh, the 2016 expenses? You'd just like to look at it? Okay. All right. And the full details will be on the website in a couple of days. Any other questions?
I don't have a question. David, you're taking much longer these days. Anyway. I wanted to make a quick plug before everybody just slowly disappears. You know, I'm the coordinator for the basic program, which is the advanced Buddhist philosophy course that Geshe-la teaches on Friday nights, right? And so we have for that class, and it's on the Heart Sutra right now, and we have a meditation day scheduled on Saturday, right? But it's open to everyone. And it's going to be a real great treat because I found audios from retreats I've attended with Venerable Rene, who, as some of you know, is a great master meditator, right? So he will be leading us. So it will be really wonderful. So anybody can join.
That's a treat. Thank you. Okay.
Meditation on emptiness, by the way.
Oh, on emptiness, by the way. Now, to close it down, I'll be brief. I'll try to. So as they said last time I came to you, I was only half year in, so that was a little daunting. And now it's been a year and a half, so it's a piece of cake. If you've ever caught me with my head banging on the desk, you know that's not true. So I found a nice quote from Lama Yeshe to sum up what it's felt like. That's okay, dear. The most important thing is your willingness to try. So I think that's what I've been trying. That's what I've been doing. So have any of you ever heard Lama Yeshe say Pamela Peeling? Because I hadn't ever heard that before, and I've just been to some training. Shanka's nodding his head. So that just made all of us crack up a lot. That was one of his favorite lines in creating Pamela Peeling. And so it's not as funny if you haven't heard it, but it was really funny there. So that's what I'm trying to do here, too, is to create Pamela Peeling. So recently at this Foundation Service Seminar training, it was just how to be a someone who can serve you better. That's mostly what it was about. It was 5 days. We laughed, we cried, we drank gallons of tea. It was in the rainforest and the deluges, and the roads were crashing around us. So did you actually know that there are 166 centers now in the world, FPMT centers? I thought the number was 140-something. So study centers and centers, there's 166 around the world. And you would be amazed. It would kind of shock you if you knew how they all talked about us. And it's all good. I mean, it's a little wacky. They think that we, I don't know, it's just a really strange feeling. They think they love us so much, and they want to do everything like we do it. Our family program, they all ask for it, and then I can say, we'll send you our entire program. You know, how great is that? They can't believe what we're like. And so I just wanted to let you know that, because when you're here, how would you know that? You know, you're just here. It's a center. It seems kind of small. It's just what we do every Sunday, right? Well, we are so loved, and they are watching us. So stay on your best behavior. I was just thinking of the numbers. We have like 43 people who work in, who volunteer in the family program, over 20 people who volunteer for the prison project. So that's like 60 people right there, just for two things that you really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And so I have this picture also I wanted to show you of, who knows what this is? Donna can't answer. What kind of mandala is that? What is it? What is it? Where have you seen that before? It's usually really tiny. The FPMT logo. Thank you. Chris knew that. so this mandala, you know, we talked about it out there. I'm not big on PowerPoint, so I'm just going to hold this up. This is, you are in this mandala. You know, when you think about it, a mandala is a representation of a three-dimensional building, but this is, you're in it. You're in Rinpoche's mandala. And we talked about how important that is, that together we're not just a center, we're part of the big picture. And it's the quote that they said about that is that Rinpoche, no, he must not have said it, but it's not ordinary. You won the lottery, dear, so it must have been Lama Yeshe. This is not ordinary to be part of this. This is extremely special. So I wanted to come home with that attitude for you, to say that you are connected to all these centers around the world, people from Austria and Mexico, Spain, and France, and New Zealand. Sarah Brooks was there. She sends her love to everybody, by the way. She does live updates. So any of you who are Facebook friends, give her some more updates. So the annual appeal, David's reported on all the financial things. We are over 93% of the way. But I did want to tell you, Geshe-la, that we have done 304,934 mani mantras already. So that's fantastic, I think. So we've got the whole year to go, and we'll be reporting along the way. We're going to add a little segment to our this week to tell you where we are with the mantras. And if you don't know where to report them, they're on the donation page, and soon we're going to move them to the home page. So this online community, it's just been delightful so far. It's been amazing. It has been difficult for some of you. I want to thank everyone for their patience. It's a challenging learning curve, but it's still an extremely happy one. And I want to thank David Strebel for all his support and help the entire way. I want to tell you what we've... Can you hold those back too? Oops, sorry. we've already let go of Salesforce and QuickBooks, Click and Pledge, and TransFirst. Yeah, thank you, Patrick. FormAssembly, our website database, and Yahoo. We've let go of all of that just by using this new database. So it's been extremely helpful for someone who has to monitor all those things. And we've only just touched the tip of the iceberg. So if you haven't seen much on there, when you go on, you're not going to see much yet. There's a lot coming. So we use the system to email you for all those special e-announcements Donna sends out. We send it for outreach, for any weather announcements. All the emails come from there now. We're forming groups like Basic Program. That's the first experiment for class. So we can communicate to each other and talk about where we're going to dinner. And soon we can have all kinds of groups in there. And even the family program can use it. And then you can, when text comes out, the text grouping format, whatever they're going to call that, we can then just text each other from our group. So that's going to be really great. You've noticed Textgiving. So that's been a difficult process. No one's been able to get it yet because it's very expensive as a standalone. But now that it's part of Realm, we are using it, and I think most of us have enjoyed the ease of it. So in the future, we've got a children's check-in coming so that the children can have name tags that can match their parents, and we can have things be much safer and get into the 21st century. So with the website, we're updating and changing things daily. I just want to make sure that everyone knows you don't have to check in anymore. Sign in with your membership number. We still hear people are trying to do that. So you don't have to do that at all. You can get to the recordings and the streamings easily. So for our management team, these are the people who do and run the center. They are Robbie Watkins, who's not here, Donna Cease, and Amanda Henry is the office manager. Chris Bransky in the back and Brian in the back do our media team. Outreach is Elise Strievel. Family program, Christy Batts. Bookstore manager, our new one, Arlene Van Reichingham. And communications coordinator, Patty Pandya. So that's our team right now. We meet monthly. We plan everything that happens at the center. And we're building also, we don't have a facility manager, so we're building our handy crew right now. So if you wanted to sign up for that, there's a sign on the back door until we get a manager. We have a few more positions to fill, and then we'll be temporarily complete. As much as Buddhists can get, right? So you may have noticed the myriad of signs around the building. We're trying to make a consistency, a look of consistency for the center. So whenever I feel crazy, I make a sign. Amanda will say, why don't you go make a sign? So if you see signs everywhere, it's because it calms me down. So the design is almost complete, too, for the center. But you notice the communication area now over the bench. So that's where you can go to look for everything that's happening, all the classes, about yoga, food for thought, outreach, everything. So the side over the bench is us to you, and the side by the bathrooms, across from the bathrooms, is you to you. So if you want to advertise a home for rent or music lessons or anything, that's for you to use. And there's a place for your business cards, too. So under communicating, we communicate through our website, the Facebook page, the emails, this week emails, posters, the bulletin board, and the special announcements. If you aren't getting this week, you can sign up for it outside at the concierge desk. And you can also unsubscribe and subscribe as you like from that. So for volunteers, have you noticed that we've been kind of quiet with asking? We haven't really come to you with a big plug yet, so it's coming. And we don't know what it is yet, but we're going to have something where we start to let you know exactly what we need. And I've just been doing it nice and slow because it's been a big change for everything. So now it's time to think about what do we really need to run the center? What do we really need? So we're going to come out, roll that plan out soon. Because with LOP and with the other positions we need, we have quite a few things that we need filled. So let's see. I'm trying to be quick here. I know when you see pages turning, she's still got more to say. There's a quote from the FSS training Donna and I went to once that we both really loved. Remember that? I slept and dreamt that life is joy. I work and saw that life is service. And I served and saw that service is joy. So I think that's a beautiful quote for volunteering. So our 25th anniversary, we're still cooking along. We're building some steam up. We'll pick it back up now after the appeal. Maybe a few more skits coming out for that. We're going to celebrate like black tie celebrate in June. Big time celebrate. You're going to be in a black tie or maybe a turtleneck and a jacket. So this is going to be a big event for all of us here in June. You're wearing a suit too. Yeah, okay. And we already have a planning team going. So I was thinking of something, since everything begins on the tip of a wish and it's our 25th year, we're thinking of the next 25. I'd like for you just to do a call out for a couple things that you wish for the center in the future. Like big, big wishes. What does anybody wish for the next 25 years, Donna?
Big prayer wheel.
Big prayer wheel. That's one of mine, too. Anybody else, Shanka, what's a big wish for you?
I don't know. Just this place to continue as it is today.
Okay. Any other wishes?
Monastery.
A nunnery. That's what I'm thinking. Anything else? A huge garden. I like a water fountain, personally.
More classrooms.
A teenage classroom would be lovely. Yeah, so we have to start it. We have to say it to have our wishes come true. So, in closing, I'm coming up for air, and with all the merging and changing, it's time to put in writing what this job actually means, since there's never been one before. So I've been trying to do that this whole year, and I've been running it, but now I really want to spend some time hunkered down and figuring out for the future of this position, what is this? So I'll be working on more documentation. But none of this would be possible without the guidance and teachings from our teachers, especially Geshe-la. Yes. Thank you for staying with us one more year and being patient with us for one more year. We need it. We need it so much that we ask you that you stay with us until we're all enlightened. Please, please, please. So amid the quippy side notes and the fun skits and the love letters to you all, I want you to know how much I dearly love serving you all. And I'm here for you every day, and I want to know how I can serve you better. So there is nothing more important than serving the Dharma at the center. That's a quote from one of the trainings. So thank you. Does anybody have any questions for the whole group with the few of you that are left? All right. You are free to go. Thank you. Oh, Donna has one more. Would you like to say?